96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with Deborah Simmons of the Washington Times. And, of course, we're going to have Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of Afro-American Studies at Howard University, joining us in just a bit. But on deck tonight, the NAACP has a travel warning about American Airlines. Also, President Trump's fight with the GOP. Also, a group home shaves the head of a biracial girl without permission from the parents, saying it will grow back straight. Yep, we're talking about those issues tonight at the Reporters Roundtable. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a question or comment, certainly join in the conversation at the Reporters Roundtable. You can also tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Deborah, we're going to start with you as we wait for Dr. Carr to join us. Your thoughts about this travel advisory targeting American Airlines.
Thanks, Harold.
Sure.
Let me say this to the Howard University family. You all had it going on for a week and a half because the talk of the town was Howard University homecoming.
Okay. All right.
So let me give that shout out first.
All right. I was like, where are you going?
Yeah.
The
advisory, you know what? That advisory has me kind of a bit nervous for two, three reasons. One is because you're sending out a travel advisory about African Americans and American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, my question is that means the other airlines, Southwest, JetBlue, Virgin, everybody else is doing black folks right? Where number two is we're targeting the same airlines that the 9/11 hijackers did.
One of them.
Yeah,
because there was also United.
But American Airlines, and they struck American urban areas, or tried to, in the case of the Pennsylvania plane that Americans helped avert. And number three, why is the NAACP doing them? What's the point? Are you pushing a boycott, or are you soliciting potential clients for a class action lawsuit? And I say that because I read the press release online because I wanted to read that unfiltered
right. Before
I read what the rest of the media was saying. I wanted to see exactly what the NAACP itself was saying. And toward the end of the page, the very page that the press release was on, it said, and if you know or know of any cases, please contact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. Didn't the United States try to do away with ambulance chasers? In other words, don't chase that ambulance to the hospital to solicit a client.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand we're bombarded with those lawyers and law firms ads every day saying, if you've been hurt in an accident, please call Deborah and Harold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I don't know where the NAACP is going with this. And I reread the history of the organization. And sure, it sought justice.
Mm-hmm.
But what got me was the NAACP was not founded, organized, chartered just by black folks.
True. Yeah, that's true. But
and they solicited, talked about, only wanted to shield, only wanted to use as examples African Americans.
Well, some would suggest that those are the people that are complaining the most. And I would argue that this issue really became front page after civil rights activist Tamika Mallory posted her Facebook post a week or so ago. And then I think it really, really caught fire because here's the thing, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this, many of the high profile complaints about the airlines were not, there were some, but they weren't black people.
People of color.
Got it. They weren't people of, like you said, they weren't people of color. A lot of them were, you know, they were women. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, there were families that just had complaints, and things began to escalate, and then they were thrown off. So, you know, to your point, I'm just not sure what to think about this particular
because they're talking
issue.
About the corporation they want to sit down with,
mm-hmm.
but the changes are not made by the corporation. The changes are made at the gate, which was one of the
right. That's one of the complaints.
Points out it's made at the counter before you get to the gate. So that question, even about corporate pattern, is if it's a corporate pattern, that means it's always done or it's selectively done. Now, I haven't flown a plane in a couple of years.
Okay.
So tell me whether a ticket says what ethnicity and race you are.
But
does it?
No. But the person at, you know, at the gate does see you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
and at the counter.
Exactly. At the counter.
The person who's at the counter, mm-hmm. say, I ain't going to put her in that seat she asked for. I'm just going to kick her over here.
Yeah.
Or is it somebody at the gate or after the gate, even once you board the plane and are seated or about to be seated, according to what your ticket says? Is it somebody that looks somewhere and punches buttons somewhere and say, oh, he black, I'm going to move him. But that white galley with, I'm going to leave her in first class,
which is another complaint.
That was made. Yeah.
There was a complaint just like that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. We're starting off with the NAACP travel warning about American Airlines and its treatment of African-American passengers. Also, we're going to get into this fight between President Trump and the GOP establishment. Also, a really bizarre story out of Massachusetts. Where a little black girl, 7 years old, she had her hair cut by the staff at a group home against her parents' permission or without her parents' permission. And the response was, it's going to grow back straight. If you have a comment, if you have a question, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You said yourself that you had not flown on a plane, you know, in quite some time. Mm-hmm. I flew on a plane, you know, this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really have any problems, you know, going out. Did have, you know, a problem with a passenger and his, you know, 7-year-old son who decided to sleep on me during the red eye.
Mm.
You know, we had a language bash, language barrier. Mm-hmm. He was Asian. You know, look, I got kids. I understand. But at some point when I'm trying to sleep, I don't want a 7-year-old kid drooling on me.
Right.
There was no place to put the child. So, hey, you know, what was it because I was black? Was it because the kid was Asian? I don't think so. It was a tight flight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there are questions that this travel advisory does raise. And as a matter of fact, let me ask Dr. Carr. Dr. Carr, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing? How's summer, brother? Just getting out of class.
Oh, well, you know, you do have a day job, so we appreciate any time that
you... Nice job, just like you.
we appreciate you. You've heard about the NAACP travel advisory against American Airlines. What are your thoughts about that?
The travel advisory. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I got an echo in here. Let me go back to it because I don't get many echo.
Yeah.
I think that it's a wonderful thing. I'm glad the NAACP is showing some bite and some teeth, putting some teeth back in the organization. Because at the end of the day, you know, we can't obviously expect people to stop flying American Airlines. But what we can expect as the organizations that we look to advance the cause of equal justice and equal treatment under law can make statements that require people to think differently about how they spend their money. And what we've seen in the history of the civil rights movement, and generally speaking, is that it has been the weapon of economic violence. And I'm using the word violence very advisedly. Economic violence, which has led to results. The Montgomery bus boycott was certainly litigated in the courts, but it was won in the streets, nickel by nickel. And if three people decide they're not going to fly American Airlines and attribute that to the NAACP call, watch American Airlines get a religion real quick.
Well, let me ask you, because I want to make sure that I'm not missing something, because 2017 seems to be the year where all of the airlines are treating everybody poorly. And not just black folks. You know, the Asian doctor who was dragged down the aisle with the bloody nose. And we've got women being abused of all colors. So I guess I'm a little unsure why the NAACP are they jumping on the bandwagon? I'm unsure about this.
Yeah, I think you're right, Harold. I think they are jumping on the bandwagon, but I'm thinking that the bandwagon was mass produced in a factory that has on the outside the name Trump. In other words, what we're talking about is a societal, a social climate where people have been emboldened by the events that have unfolded over the last year, by the politics, the crass politics of white supremacy. They have been emboldened to give voice to things that they've always felt. So when you see, a sister accosted by the captain of an airplane.
You're talking about Tamika Mallory.
Yes.
Yeah.
You see Tamika, get her off. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Would that have been the conversation a year ago this time? You had to ask yourself. No, but when you got a guy who stands up at political rallies and says, "Are you a Mexican? Are you a Mexican? Get him out of here," or "Punch him in the mouth, I'll pay your legal bills." That basically gives courage to people to say that. So, yeah, I think the NAACP did get on a bandwagon. But the bandwagon that they jumped on is a vehicle that was put in motion by people giving voice to things they already felt because they've been given official sanction by the highest elected official in the United States of America.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. John calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, John. What's on your mind?
I'm a white male, and I actually have two black children now through an adoption, but at the time I only had one.
Okay.
And I've flown American Airlines probably 6-7 times, and they've treated my son with the utmost respect. They've allowed him in the cockpit. They've taken pictures of him in the cockpit, sitting at the pilot's chair. They've let us on the plane first, and every time we sat down, he was considered a lap baby. They let us sit in a seat behind or in front or over. So they said, "Well, this seat's empty, so you guys can both sit together, so we don't have to sit on your lap." They've been always been very respectful to me, and he's my son's black.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a problem. They've helped me carry my luggage and stuff on because a child is allowed to have a diaper bag and a bag, and a stroller and a car seat. And I'm carrying all of this by myself, and they've come over, the stewards come over and said, "Here, let me help you." And they've taken us, put us on the plane while they're still getting ready to fly, and no one else is on the plane but us.
And John, let me say, I think one of the things that we may not have mentioned, and I want you to stay on the line because we're going to talk about this on the other side, is that in each of the cases that the NAACP has outlined, they came after there was an issue with one of the passengers, whether the passengers complained about something or their seats were being moved. Obviously, black or white, if your seat assignment isn't being changed, if you don't have a complaint, it's likely nothing's going to happen. But I think that the issue is how they deal with passengers of color when there is a complaint. John, stay on the line. Shannon from D.C., Joe from Sterling, we're also going to talk to you. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.